Because some are considering membership at Southgate, I want to give you some big picture understandings of how we believe God is calling us to walk and live and grow together. And I'm a gardener and I enjoy working outside. And so I'm going to use the metaphor of a garden in talking about what God is growing in this part of His garden. And in doing this, in talking about what God is doing in the church, I always struggle a little with how we talk about that identity. One reason is sometimes we use certain words which we may think everyone understands, but we may mean something different than their imagination. One real quick example of this was a lady who came into our fellowship for several months. She thought this would be her home church. One of the reasons was that she was a single woman, and we talk about being family a lot. Now, of course, that concept was one that she was familiar with in other Spirit-led church circles. But after several months, she decided that Southgate was not right for her. She said, "I've heard churches talk about being family before, and I thought that's what I needed and wanted. But I wasn't ready for what you mean by family. I'm not ready for that kind of vulnerability and trust, because I'm a very private person and I'm just not there yet." So you see, we use the same word, family, which she used, but we meant something different by it. I never want anyone to be afraid that they're going to be pushed into something before they're ready. And can just add that if that lady had just been transparent and said, "Guys, just give me some space and let me see if I can move in slowly," that would have been fine. We were just functioning in the way that we believe in and function, but it wasn't like other places she had experienced. Now, I think you have to be very careful with that viewpoint, because it can be a real point of pride and arrogance. You can be saying, "We're the ones that do it right. We're real family. Others are just wannabes." And those attitudes are absolutely toxic in the church. What I'm really talking about in this lesson is our vision for how this faith community grows in relationship to one another. Let me begin with a portion of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, where Paul says, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." The Holy Spirit is the keeper of our hope and our vision. He's like the watchful gardener. He watches over and nurtures what we have committed to Him. We may feel that we'd like to see certain things come to pass, but our part is to entrust Him with the hope of our hearts and believe that He will bring forth our hope as a crop in its season. We've seen Him prepare the soil for the hope to come forth, for the seeds that we have planted. And I'm going to quickly touch on three soil conditions and three ingredients from which our vision grows. These are basic ingredients that He has worked into the soil of the hearts of this part of His garden called Southgate Fellowship. The first ingredient that He has put into us in this garden is that at Southgate, we believe in growing big people. We don't strive to grow a big church. Jesus grows the church in His time and His way. That's not our part. He said, I will build my church. And the psalmist said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So we believe in growing big people, but we don't strive to grow a big church in size or numbers. Jesus said, I will do that. But we believe in raising up people who have big hearts with a great embrace. People whose love is not limited to those that sort of fit their prepackaged model of what Christian faith looks like. So when we talk about big people, we're not talking about CEOs or movers and shakers. We're talking about people who enlarge everything around them. People who have contagiously big hearts and who excel in the greatness of mercy and humility. So that's the first ingredient, big people. The second ingredient would probably best expressed in the word simplicity. Basically, greater complexity will be looked upon with skepticism at Southgate. Anything which adds layers of program management and corporation owners oversight, those kinds of things will be kind of guilty until proven innocent. Whereas corporate flowcharts tend to be vertical, that is top to bottom, up and down, our Southgate mode of operation tends to be more horizontal, trusting one another, walking shoulder to shoulder. We sometimes use the word shepherding community. Now by that, we don't mean that we don't have leadership or headship. Certainly we do have headship. We have a specific leadership team which oversees various ministry functions. But we don't see an increased staff and more programs as the means God uses to grow His church. We are a shepherding church, and we believe God has called us all to a shepherding model of living and walking together with one another. So simplicity is a key element in the soil of this garden. The third ingredient in this soil is that we believe in and we seek to raise up those who are balanced in the Word and the Spirit. Now there's one of those common words, balance, that can be misunderstood. Because have you ever known of a church which doesn't think they're balanced? Everybody is balanced in their own eyes. It kind of goes along with Proverbs 12:15, even a fool is wise in his own eyes. To the controlling person, balance means doing it their way. To the power-hungry person, balance means coming under their authority. To the no-boundaries person, balance means everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. To the easy grace person, balance is like the old song, Home on the Range, where there never is heard a discouraging word. Now, doesn't everybody want to live in a place like that? So at Southgate, we really try to weigh spirituality against sensibility and sensibility against spirituality in the balance of things. So, for example, we welcome the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we don't welcome a wildness of expression where the only person who is free in the Spirit is the one expressing themselves. In those cases, sometimes everybody else is held hostage by this strong personality that demands their expression. That's not balance. The Word and the Spirit cannot be prioritized any more than Jesus and the Holy Spirit can be prioritized. We need both. We need both the Word and the Spirit. Both work harmoniously and in balance to bring about a healthy, fruitful, life-producing garden, we believe. So, those soil conditions, raising up big people, desiring simplicity, staying balanced. Out of those soil conditions, vision grows and hope becomes reality. Let me submit to you some components of what we see growing in the garden. We see worship in spirit and in truth growing. The balance in our soil ingredients also produces balance in worship, that it be in spirit and in truth. Another crop we see growing in the Southgate Garden is life witness. We see that we are sent as missionaries. You will hear us often talk about so-and-so is a pastor or minister or missionary at Walmart or Lowe's or some other company or some other institution. So we share a life witness understanding that we are all sent to our places of living and sharing and working as ministry points. We believe that the person who works in a place of business is as sent and as essential in the kingdom and as important in God's sight as someone that is sent to a village in Africa or Asia. Life witness is shared. The philosophy, the understanding of a life witness. Here's another crop we see growing. We intentionally have transgenerational family life. I hope you appreciate that. When you see children praying for adults and us gathering and praying for someone and a child or two comes into that group and we allow them to enter into that and to pray with us, and when you see teens used in ministry along with older ones in that same area, that's not an accident. That's intentional. It's part of the hope that we have deposited, which the Holy Spirit hovers over and we see growing in His garden here at Southgate. Here's another element that we see growing. We see gifts growing in a safe environment. We believe that our walk together should be covered with enough grace so that gifts can be exercised. And even when we blow it or miss the mark, love covers the multitude of sins. The word sins there is, in the Greek, hamartia, and it means missing the mark. Can we have enough grace to cover when others miss the mark? Can we have enough grace for those who are younger in their faith or newer in the Lord to try their footing in gift ministry or in praying or in the things of the kingdom? I think we must if we're to be the church of Jesus Christ. So we see that crop growing as well. Here's another crop we see growing. We seek to facilitate personal accountability and care for one another. Now, I'm specifically putting those two together, and you might notice it sounds like two different things. But personal accountability and care for one another, we see as two parts of one crop. We are accountable to one another. We take the risk of knowing one another, the good, the bad, the ugly. But knowing one another's strengths and frailties doesn't drive us apart. It drives us together. It drives us to care for one another. We understand that so-and-so has a problem in their life. So therefore, instead of rejecting them because they have a problem, we reach out to care for them. So that's a part of the crop we see growing as well. Our heart is that no one would ever see their vulnerability abused in this part of God's garden. Another crop we see growing is discipleship. Our heart is strong and presses in toward growing up in Christ. Jesus didn't call the church to make converts of all men. Converts are made through our life witness as we are what we are in the real places of life. But He did say, go and make disciples. And that's where our effort lies. You'll hear us talking a lot more about discipleship than converts. We believe converts happen in the life flow of our witness. We think discipleship happens in the context of church body life as we commit to one another and commit to the growth of one another. Another significant crop that we're hovering over, and we see the Spirit hovering over in this garden, is prayer. That's a significant part of the vision God has given us. And every Saturday, for example, we pray in the fellowship hall throughout the year, and have been doing that for many years now. But I'm not just talking about praying on Saturdays. I'm talking about personal prayer as well. Your personal prayer time with the Lord and with your family or with your spouse. Prayer, both personal and corporate, is a significant part of our body life and the crop that we see growing. Another part of the crop, another crop we see growing in the garden, is the fear of the Lord. In other words, an understanding that we walk softly before the Lord. We think that it's good that we not be pushy or prideful or arrogant or put ourselves forward as if we are God's greatest gift to the church. Listen to this portion from Acts chapter 5. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Ananias and Sapphira, but just listen to this for a moment, beginning in verse 1. "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they had sold a portion of ground. They were both aware of it, but they kept back part of the proceeds, and they brought a certain amount to the apostles. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God.'" So you see what Ananias was doing here, and his wife was, they were pretending that they were giving all the proceeds from their land to the church. Peter said, "The problem isn't that you have only given part of the proceeds. The part is you're pretending, your hypocrisy. You're pretending to have given the whole amount when you just gave part of the amount. It was all in your hand. You could have chose to give in any amount you wanted. But they pretended that they were doing this great gesture. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last." He died. "So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter answered her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.' She said, 'Yes, for so much.' Then Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out.' Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things." Now, this story may sound like a real downer for this new church, which was framed right after Pentecost. And it is sad that two of the members lost their lives because they wanted to appear righteous before men more than they wanted to be right with God. And the price they paid, of course, was the ultimate price of their life. So, was the New Testament church a risky place to be? Yes. Yes, it was. It was like Aslan, the lion, in C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Do you remember that story? The children asked the beaver if Aslan was safe. The Aslan representing Christ, the beaver said, "No, but he's good." When the real church functions as it is supposed to function, it is safe for honest and humble people, but it is not safe for my flesh. It is not safe for my secret sin. It is not safe for abusive, hurtful attitudes. It is not a safe place where I can hide and never be revealed. It's not a safe place to parade smug spirituality while denying the Holy Spirit access into my real heart. No, the church isn't safe in that sense, but it is good. And it is a place to grow and to be fruitful and to discover God's best in you. In the real church of the New Testament, there was a fear of God's dealing, but the humble, honest people who sincerely sought God's ways found a nest in the church. Do you remember that verse in Psalm 84, verse 3, that says, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts." God says, even a little bird, even a simple little bird can find a nesting place in the altars in the house of the Lord. But those like Ananias and Sapphira don't find the church to be so comfortable, such a nice nesting place. And so, the phony, super spiritual, who tried to impress others, didn't want to join the church. Listen to 12 and 13 of Acts chapter 5. Let me get that again. "Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." You see, those who were hungry for the authentic were attracted to the very church which was arsenic to the pretenders. Even as some people were saying, "That's not for me. I don't want to be part of anything that kills people or makes people afraid." Others were, who had the hope of Christ in their hearts, said, "Now this is real church." So the true work of God's Spirit repulses some while it attracts others. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:16, "To one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life." It became crystal to everyone who saw what was going on in Acts chapter 5 that joining the church of Jesus Christ was a significant thing and not something to be done lightly or casually. Let me make one more point from verse 13. The word "join" there, "others did not choose to join with them," is the Greek word kolao. It comes from the word glue, kola. Membership really means something to us. I sometimes refer to the covenant of membership because we believe being a member of Southgate is to be in a trusted place of responsibility and accountability, and it means to be connected or glued together with others. Paul used the word in Colossians that we are knit together in love. We are not a church of lone rangers. We really depend on one another. Now, do we sometimes drop the ball? Absolutely. But we're still glued together. And like all families, we keep loving one another, even when we don't necessarily like one another in that moment. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. It always covers the multitude of our differences and the places where we miss the mark.